These words may be familiar to you. We'll see. If you had the same English course as I did in high school. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler, long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other, just as fair and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that, the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay, in leaves no step had trodden back. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Now you'll hear that this time of year over and over and over again, because it's one of those poems that just screams out, please quote me at a graduation. Because all those kids are sitting there, all those young people, sometimes us old people too, okay, with those cheese boards on our head ready to flip them, you know, ready to throw them because something new is happening. It's a new chapter, a new day, a new whatever, era. And it all depends on the very thing that that poem's about. What's that poem about? Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. Okay? Choices and decisions. Now, the reality, how many of us have had to make a decision this week? You haven't made a decision this week? Okay? I'll tell you, and you encounter people who are having to make decisions as well. I'm sitting yesterday at a, It was Friday, actually, at one of Luke's baseball games. And the mother of a guy that I've coached baseball with for a while, her mother, who is greatly in a, she's like 90s, okay? She's in the hospital, and they are trying to figure out what they're going to do with her because on a dime they needed to have her in a nursing home or some facility where she... And so, you know, as she's spinning out all these and they're trying to figure out where they're going to go, I was able to say, well, I know that Dusty's mother-in-law was in this one, and that seemed to be the best one of the ones that they went to. And so, on that dime, she made a decision, which was pretty remarkable. And what that emphasized for me was, it matters the decisions that we make, and then the decisions that we make and that get reported influence other people who make decisions. And that every decision, really, no matter how small, we're going to talk about this for the next couple of weeks. You know, I love to talk about this stuff. For some reason, whenever I got to the end of my time in seminary, this is one of the things that I really like. I just really gravitated to. And I figure if I had ever, if I had ever decided that I was ever going to do anything beyond in academia, which I'm not, but if I ever would, it would have been probably have something to do with ethics and decision making. Not because I'm so good at it, because you don't want to be with me when I'm trying to buy a used car. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to do well. I'm about 50-50. I either do really good or I do really bad. Okay. Abby's car, old car has gone the way of, I mean, you know, it just sucked the money as it went down the road. But then again, you know, the car that I bought now, the one that I'm driving, that was actually a pretty good decision. So I'm about 50-50 on that. But still, it seems like the 50% that I don't do well on just sucks the money. But those decisions matter. They matter for us, and they matter for other people. So I want to talk about making great decisions, because every one of us needs to know what's involved and how to do that. And sometimes we just need to, we need a different vantage point to see the things that we're making decisions about. So I want to try to walk us through that a little bit over the next couple of weeks. But every one of us, as we go through today, you'll see, is in the middle of doing this. Our theme verse is going to be Proverbs 2, 1 through 11. So we'll pop that up there. And you know, Proverbs are all about wisdom, all about guidance, all about trust. So here's where we start. New Living Translation says, "My child, listen to me and treasure my instructions. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and understanding. Search for them as you would for lost money or a hidden treasure. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of good sense to the godly. He is their shield, protecting those who walk with integrity. He guards the paths of justice and protects those who are faithful to Him. Then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you will know how to find the right course of action every time." Isn't that what we want to do? "For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise planning will watch over you, and understanding will keep you safe." Stay between the lines. The lines are your friend. Remember that commercial? And the little girl starts scribbling everywhere, and the car goes off, and you realize this is a car commercial? It was great until then. So we're going to launch out here, and we're going to talk about what it means to make great decisions. So the fact is, you're always going to make a decision. Some decisions are easy to make. Others are hard to make. People have different ways that they make decisions. There are many factors that influence the way that we make decisions, and we haven't even thought about them many times. Sometimes we just do it. Sometimes we're influenced by the way that people in our community have made decisions. Ergo, the lady sitting beside me at the baseball game listens to me say something about Dusty's experience, and decision made. Sometimes we're influenced by the culture and the people around us as we make decisions the way that they make decisions. Sometimes it's the way that our parents made decisions that have influenced us and still do influence. Sometimes it's a compilation of all these things that come to bear. And it's a matter of a specific type of situation. And then we don't even realize it, but the way we've been reared up to go is how we end up processing making that decision. Sometimes it's our educational experience that influences how we make decisions. Our personality affects the way we make decisions. Even sometimes just the basic economics of our life makes decisions for us. All these things come together. Now, the truth is, we also don't use the same process for every decision we make. If we did, we would spend so much time making every little decision, right? So sometimes those small impulse decisions that we make, you know, they don't hurt a whole lot, but that's not to say that they don't affect something. They do. Big decisions, obviously, we're going to take more time, sometimes try to be more organized about what we do, is maybe a little more objective about what we do, because we think this is a big decision. And we know from the very beginning of having to entertain the situation that we know it's going to have long, far-reaching consequences. So we know we've got to make a good one. No matter what is shaping our decision-making process, we've got to confess that sometimes we wish we had made a better decision. Because we're human. We're not perfect. So I want to talk about a few foundational things as we get into all this. And so I guess we'll just start with four bottom line truths, okay? Well, the first truth is this. Making decisions is a part of life. You're going to do it. Even if you don't do it, you made a decision. It's part of what we have to do. You know, every day, how many decisions do you think any human normally would make if you really counted up all the decisions? How many do you think it would roughly be? Now, I don't know how you quantify this, but the really smart people say it's about 17,000 a day. Okay, so there's things that we do, and when we do something, it's a decision. It was a decision for me to move my hand. Okay, I made a decision to move my hand. That's a decision. Okay, so 17,000 of those in any given day. Every one of those multiplied by the number of days that we have to this point in time, to this day, those decisions have sort of defined who we are to this point. The sum of our decisions sort of defines who we are now. Now that's going to be important when I get to the end. But for right now, the sum of our decisions sort of defines who we are. That's why it's important. The Bible mentions many different types of decisions that you and I have to make every day. I want to look at a couple of examples, okay? So stick with me. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Here's one. This is Moses speaking to the people of Israel, the people following him in the wilderness that God had gathered together. Today, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Is this a big one? You got a guy who talks with God, who's saying, okay, you got to make the choice. Oh, that you would choose life, that you and your descendants might live. So here, we've got Moses challenging the Israelites to obey God, to follow God. And you and I have that same choice. It's one that we all have to deal with. So, you can always make this choice. Now, I'm going to tell you. You've made the choice to be here today. You have the choice to listen to what Dusty says or what I say or what anybody else here says when we're trying to share with you what the Bible says. And then it's in your court as to what you do with that. My job is not to try to manipulate you, to coerce you, to hype you up or do any of that. That's not who I am, and that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm simply trying to communicate the truth effectively. And then you have to decide what you are going to do with what you hear. It's a decision. So when you hear truth, you either say, that's one I want to hear, that's one I don't want to hear, and then sometimes you have that ancillary, I don't want to hear it, but I'm going to do something about it. But there are choices. So that's one of the kinds of choices that we have to make right there, like we see in Deuteronomy 30. Secondly, next passage. This one comes from Proverbs 18:21. It says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. And that's the Message version. Wow. So, today, you and I have the choice of words that we speak to others and how we speak to them in our tones. Facial expression, you know, our affect, all that communicates. So we get to choose how we're going to do that. And will those ways be harsh or loving? Will they be angry? Will they be kind? Will they be understanding? And so we can ask the question, how have they been so far today? Third example. Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount. It's always going to be tough. Let's not pretend this is easier than it really is. If you want to live a morally pure life, here's what you've got to do. You have to blind your right eye the moment you catch it in a lustful ear. You have to choose to live one-eyed or else be dumped on the moral trash pile. Interesting that they would, Mr. Peterson would put it that way. So, you and I have the choice of where our mind goes. What we dwell on. Do we dwell on things that are inappropriate, immoral, or do we catch those things and do we submit them to Christ and do we say, we don't want this? Let's choose to dwell on other things. We make the choice of what we entertain in the theater of our mind. Because it ultimately shapes what we are likely to do. Even though we don't like to admit that. And we know that Jesus has called us to purity and godliness. And what's going on in the theater, if it's not that, needs to be brought into that subjection. Decision. Number four. Also from Matthew's Gospel, Jesus said to them, come with me. I'll make you a new kind of fisherman. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass. They didn't ask questions, but simply dropped their nets and followed. That was a good decision. It was a big decision. Seemed to be small at the time, perhaps. I'm thinking of the sign in Dusty's office at Georgetown that says, fish tremble at the mention of my name. And trying to match that with what Peterson has just said. All these decisions, these four examples that we've mentioned here, are just part of life's journeys. These are things that we have to deal with and encounter all day long, every day, each one of us. The decision to get up and come, all that, just the normal, everyday decisions that we have to go through involve, I guess sometimes what we would consider to be sort of a complicated process. Although sometimes we do them like that. It just depends. So I want to give you six things that happen every time you and I have to engage a decision. Even though we may not realize that our brain is firing like that. Here's the things we have to do. I think I've got that up there. Did I have it? No, I didn't. So you're just going to have to, listen to this. Okay? So the first thing is this. There's a conflict. And the conflict, you have this question. What is it you have to make a decision about? So you got to know what it is you got to make a decision about. Am I going to go to church? Am I going to get up? Am I going to go, hurt. I don't want to do it. It's too hot outside. It's going to be hot in that church. Or it's going to be too cold in that church. Or whatever. Okay? What do you have to make a decision about? Two. The goal, what do you want to happen? What is it that you want to happen? So conflict, goal. Three, alternatives. What are the choices? I go to church, I'm a good boy. I go to church, people know that I go to church. I go to church, I hear from God. I go to church, I get to encourage others. You got all the alternatives. I don't go to church, I get to sleep. I don't go to church, I can watch the movie I wanted to watch. I don't go to church, I can go meet with a friend. You got all the alternatives. They're all floating around out there. Those are the three things so far. Conflict, goal, alternatives. Then you have consequences. Because no matter what you choose, there's a consequence. One way or the other. What good or bad things can happen? Sometimes both. Sometimes there's multiple consequences to one decision. What we used to say, you can't always just do one thing. Anytime you choose yes, that means you're saying no to something else. Consequences. The fifth thing is, you have to make a decision. There is a decision. Again, even if you choose not to make a decision, you've made a decision. And six, there's always, if you're healthy, a reflection. You get to go, well, that was dumb. I spent $18,000 on that car. It lasted me about, a year and a half? And I had to spend all this extra money on it? That was a pretty dumb decision. We get that reflection going. How do you feel? How do you evaluate that choice? So all those six things are going to be a part of what you're doing. But again, we don't think about that whenever we decided to go to $5 and get our coffee. Or when we go do something else and not something. Anyway, you get the idea. There's always a decision. So what are some decisions that you've made this week? They don't have to be big. What are some decisions you made today? You can't do the we came to church thing because we've already put that one out there. What are some decisions that are floating around that you've made this week? Okay. What classes Lexi needs to take next year? How to spend the money. I know people who will help you spend your money. A leaky shower, trying to backtrack and figure out who's going to do the job, what is the issue, how they're going to fix it. Choosing, how much money? Exactly, Daniel. And then, which one of these skilled professionals is the best skilled professional to take care of the problem? Yeah? What decisions are you having to make? All right. I chose the apple fritter that Regina bought me yesterday. Okay, what relationships do you want to pursue or put first? Make priorities, okay? All right? How much money to give today? Okay, how to rear our children in a way that would be productive, fruitful, and beneficial. That's right, and if you're healthy and strong, you're going to be my age one day too. More decisions. What decisions are you making this week? What did you do? Watch TV. Made the decision to watch TV. Thank you, Daniel. That's very honest. What, to get someone for their birthday? Yeah. All right, she said Cameron. I changed the... Okay, whether to invite someone to your home? Making the decision. It's a decision. Now here's a funny thing. Okay, now you say that. Okay, but there are things that we do. We don't realize sometimes how things do affect us, even though we think it's small. Okay, it may be that agave might make me break out, but somebody else it doesn't have any effect on it yet. So sometimes the choices we make, really, even though they're small, have a consequence. I can't, y'all know I've told you a million times, I can't go anywhere near caffeine because it makes me ill. So if I made the choice to go consume caffeine, well, you can just go ahead and line up, what's going to happen next. It's going to happen. So I can make that choice, but there's a consequence. So even though it's small. Who are you going to listen to? Yes. Yeah. That's a decision we make every day. Who's going to be our authority, and to what extent, and on which issues, and okay? So, whenever any one of us encountered any of these decisions that we are making, okay? the conflict, the goal, the alternatives, the consequences, the actual making of the decision, and now the reflection. That's sort of what we're doing. We're reflecting on those. Okay. All those things happen. Sometimes we didn't think about them. Sometimes we pondered them and we set it all out. Either physically, sometimes we sit down and we write it out. Sometimes we do the pros and the cons or the however else you might diagram it out. Sometimes we do that mentally. Sometimes we do it literally. And then sometimes we just do on automatic pilot. Right? I mean, I got out of bed. It was a decision. Okay? But it's automatic pilot. I'm going to get up, right? All right, number two. So it's decisions are part of everyday life. Every decision is important. So, Proverbs 4. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Stay between the lines. The lines are your friend. Okay. This is not the world's lines. This is the lines that God has established for us. Why? So that we would be blessed, so that we would be sustained, we would be cared for, we would encourage one another and help one another. There's not one of those things that God has established that is meant to be a punishment. It's not meant to kill our joy nor take our fun. Those things are there for our good. But that's not how the world is going to do that. The world is going to couch it in a very different way. So whenever we talk about making every decision and that it's important, we have to understand every single decision that we make, if we get to the line and we start to play with the line, pretty soon we are going to go over the line. Because it was our intention to get to the line. We wanted to nudge the line. Because we knew that we were going to perhaps step over the line, thinking we can step over and just step right back real quick. Every decision is important. Even the decision to push the limits. So, if you look at the last part of this passage, it emphasizes intensity. The intensity that it takes in order to rein in every decision and make a good decision. Now, it matters, but that's not saying that we have to have this reasoned, long, lengthy, deliberating process for every decision we make. Because that's not how we live, is it? I mean, you just can't do that. Every time it comes to make a decision, it just won't work. So, what I want to hear for just a minute is I want you to think of an example of a decision that you made this week, and why is it important? I know we've mentioned some. What decision? A decision you've made, and why is it important? Okay, decision to open the Bible, read the Word, listen to it, let it soak into us. Yeah, to get a job if you don't have one would be an important decision. Parenting. There's tons of opportunities for decisions there, isn't it? And, you know, as parents, we can't respond to every stimuli, because if we respond to every single stimuli, we're making everything a defining battle. And I don't know about you, but I don't have the energy to do that. You know, I think the reality is it's easy for us to try to as a parent, our job is to discipline, guide, mature, and help our kids grow up to where they can make decisions. And sometimes, even though we don't like the decisions that our kids make, we have to let them deal with, when it's safe, we have to let them deal with the consequences of their poor choices. That's really hard for me. Because I want... No. Absolutely. But you see, our decision is not just one decision in isolation. And that's one of the things we've got to make sure we remember. At the same time as we make decisions, these decisions that we make, even though there's many of them, they're all important, they are not isolated. Yeah, I think that there's we make them on the fly all the time. I mean, it just we have to. So that is why it's so important, and we won't get there today, but we're going to get there, is that the whole idea is we have to be steeped, seeped, soaked in what we practice in our relationship with God, where we are listening, we are where we need to be there, because if we don't have that in place and working and active in our lives, it's going to be real hard because we lose perspective. That makes sense? And then we remember that, you know, did I make a bad decision yesterday? I probably did. And I didn't have my mommy come and tell me that I shouldn't make a bad decision. You know, maybe we just have to remember that we can advise our kids at times, but then if they're just going to do that right now while they're with us, is the time for them to get the picture. It's not to delay that into their 20s so that when they're in their 20s is the first time they make a decision, that they make a decision, and it has consequences that last the rest of their lives. I know that's hard for us. Man, that's hard for me too. Very hard. Because I don't want my kids to mess up. I don't know about you. I want my kids to make all the right decisions. Now, that doesn't mean, again, that there's not consequences when they don't make the right decision. Everyone, every single one, has its importance. I'm trying to think of these. You've seen the commercial for Liberty National Insurance where the guy picks up something and gives it to him, and then that person does something for somebody else, and that person does something for somebody else. And then you see that the circle comes all around and that somebody actually opened the door for the person who picked up the thing that gave it. Anyway, that's really more true than you know. We just don't see it. That the decisions that we make are important. They affect us. They affect other people. And they matter. The decisions we make matter, which is why it's important that we have that foundation in place so that we are, whenever we're making those quick fire decisions, that we're making them based on who we are in Christ and not on our selfishness or our flesh. We have the ability to see them that way. The world does not. There is no buffer zone for the world. They just make it based on all those other things. All right, three. Our decisions always affect others. There's not a time where our decisions don't affect more than just us. Proverbs 11:11. Through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is destroyed. Ouch. The whole city? Really? It tells us how far our influence can go. What's the movie that you all remember and that I remember that we get to watch every Christmas that reminds us that our decisions affect others? It's A Wonderful Life. If Jimmy Stewart had not been there, had not been born to save his brother when his brother went under the ice, his brother wouldn't have been alive to have been the hero on the naval ship who would have saved all the other people in the naval ship, and they would have all perished as well, and you begin to see the ripples. That is, in some way, shape, or form, that is what we deal with all the time. Now, Proverbs 16:7. It says, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. Woo-hoo! So my decisions affect you, even whenever you're grumpy and I'm Doc. Or whenever you're Doc and I'm grumpy. Or you're sneezy and I'm dopey. Or whatever, you know. It doesn't matter. We can be the seven dwarfs all day long. My decisions affect you. My decisions affect my family. My decisions affect people that I don't even know. My decision to get on I-16 when they're doing road work trying to get into town. You think I'm just the one who's stuck in the middle of all the traffic. No, I am now the one who's in front of the other 15 people behind me that just pulled up and are in traffic. So my decision affects them because it puts them 15 beyond where I am. My decisions always affect somebody else, and so do yours. Yours? Sometimes it only affects us that much, but sometimes our decisions affect others that much. Or sometimes it affects them that much into the future. So, in what ways have your decisions this week affected somebody else? How have the decisions of somebody else affected you this week? Have any evidence? Doesn't always have to be a bad consequence. Somebody makes a decision not to buy something. Yes, 12 gallons of gas. We did that once. How much did we? It was 1,600. I think when we lived in another town, we went to a gas station and they charged us $1,600 for a tank of gas. It took us a good 3 months to sort that out with the credit card company because they couldn't tell the company that charged us. Anyway, it was a long story. So yeah, I've been there. I've done that. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I'll go back to both of them. They affect others. Now, others have a choice as to how they're going to handle our choices. Because if I choose to be grumpy and I'm grumpy with somebody else, then they have now a decision to be grumpy also, or are they going to handle it better than I did? And so my choice has now moved into somebody else's tennis court, and they're having to decide. Okay. And with Bobby's, it's a matter of, you know, there's some money that maybe would have been able to be spent some other way that's not going to be spent some other way that would have affected somebody else because it had to be spent that way. We've all done that. Yeah. Yeah, Cameron is probably having to decide right now if pain's better than not being live, but not being here. Yeah. Thank you very much. That's right. We'll see how Stuart does when he stubs his toe. Let's go to number four so we can finish up for today. So you're the sum total of your decisions, but there's a caveat to that. It doesn't have to be that way. Because there is grace, there is transformation, there is power in Jesus Christ. And the decision that you and I can make now or today means that there can be a fresh decision-making table. And we don't have to be the sum total of all the decisions we made. Even though when we make one, it sets the table again. Does that make sense? But the cool thing is the way that God has done this is that He has made it possible for us to have a fresh start and for all those decisions not to be the definition of who we are, even though they are. Does that make sense? Because it sounds like a paradox to me. So, all a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart. Doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that all of our decisions make up the sum total of who we are. Doesn't have to be. But it's true. So, God is the only one who knows the whole picture. And that's a very reassuring thing for me. Hope it is for you too. So we've got these four things that are kind of the baseline for everything we want to talk about. And that's where we'll start. But the power of God and a relationship with Him is so essential to making great decisions that I cannot understand. You know, we're depending on Scripture to define all this because what God has said, His Word, is the foundation, is the truth that we have to trust and rest on to make good decisions. You know, now that we've had this talk today, this week is going to be really weird for you. Okay? Because you're going to have lots of opportunities to reflect on what we've, you know, and it's going to be that way for the next couple of weeks. Okay, now that it's there, you know, you're not going to be able to kind of get away from it. It's going to be right there for you. You're going to have a decision to make. You're going to go, oh, goody. Okay, sometimes you do. It's, oh, goody. Okay? And then other times it's, I don't want to make this decision. But God teaches us even in the middle of that. All right, let's pray. Father, we are yours. And you have told us so many things in love that if we would just listen to, Lord, our lives would be so much better. And we want to trust your wisdom, but we also don't want to be legalists. Lord, we want to trust your heart. So Lord, I'm praying that we'll have this relationship with you that helps us to trust your word and to trust your ways. And that Lord, as we make decisions, sometimes even the automatic rapid-fire decisions that just come out of our character and our relationship with you, that Lord, we will let you teach us so that whenever we do have to deliberate, we do have to seek you because we're not sure that we are in the right place with the right foundation, knowing that you want to reveal things to us that will bless us and guide us. Help us not to ignore our part in pursuing you and being with you. We thank you for all the grace, the mercy, the love, and the direction that you give to us as your children. Let us exercise it and live it this week. In Jesus' name.